is the chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. If you feel lost, he's your way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got a chain, he's your chain. You can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother and Sister Setzer, could you come? And I'm going to ask the choir to stay until Sister Setzer gets finished. She's going to sing a song for us. These are my friends from Germantown, Ohio. Some of the finest people in the country. I honor Brother and Sister Setzer. They are known across the country. They preached in churches all across the land and have some of the greatest reputation of anybody that I know. Come ahead, Brother Setzer, Sister Setzer. We love you guys. Has multiple ministries and a thriving church in Ohio.
Thank you, Pastor. What a privilege to be here this morning. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I just count it an honor to be here. We've enjoyed just recently a team from your school of ministry. Brother Jose, where's he at? He's somewhere. And he brought a couple guys with him. They worked with us in our youth camp and then later on Sunday in our church. And I'm telling you, every time we've had a group from your school of ministry, they have been some of the finest young men and young women that you can find anywhere. The way they comport themselves is just exemplary. And I think along with your pastor and the team that leads that school of ministry, would you just give them a good hand for the tremendous job that they do? Praise God. Praise God. So it is quite an honor to be here this morning. It's been a busy, busy summer, and I know here, with all the things you have going, let's take a few minutes this morning and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. I come with a burden, a heart for people this morning. Sister Kim's going to come, testify, and sing, and I'll be back in a few minutes and bring the word to us.
I just want to say today that I'm so glad to be here, and I want to second that motion that these guys worked like crazy. Now, I'm in the kitchen, so I see the real side of people, you know. There's one side that comes to church and woo, and there's another side that gets in there and works. These guys were unbelievable. Every time they've come, they were amazing. And I think Brother and Sister Gregory and all of you have did a great job of teaching them. And I just love these people. Your pastors are just amazing, the sweetest people. I just felt the moment we came and got in contact with them, like we've been friends forever. It just felt like that. Felt like coming home. Your church is one of the friendliest, kindest churches, and I just love that. I'm a person that makes friends everywhere I go, so I know a friendly church when I see one, and you all are wonderful. But I came here and I was praying yesterday and through the week, you know, what could I reach out for somebody? And I know that a lot of you here have situations that you put impossible. God, it's impossible. There's no way they could ever be saved. There's no way they'll ever come out of the lifestyle they're living. There's no way they'll ever change. I come to tell you, I serve a God of the impossible, the improbable, the unthinkable. He can do anything, and he came for me to tell you this morning, if you're looking for that child and you said it was impossible, God's stepping in and getting ready to turn some things around. Our ladies' prayer group have been calling them from the north, the south, and the east and west. We've been calling them in. And last year, a boy that was raised in our church was born about the same time as my daughters. He was very close in age to one of my daughters, in between both of them, really. He went far away from God, went to an alternative lifestyle, was far away from home in a far country, in another state. Did not want anything to do with what he had been raised with. But he started coming back to church. And we started praying for the improbable, the unthinkable, for those impossible. He and his partner was sitting back there. Now, I'm talking about a situation here. He got up and left and came down and got gloriously saved, delivered, set free. And today, he is one of the most godly young men now. He has totally changed his life. It has just been absolutely miraculous. And I come to tell you, whatever you said was impossible, God said, I can do it. He wanted to build hope in you to tell you there's no place too far he can't go. He's not given up on him yet. And so I felt like singing this song. And poor Maddie, I've killed her over it. But anyway, it goes with what I'm saying. He never gave up. And even if you're here and you're like, feeling like you're a failure, God sees what you can be when the Spirit touches you. He knows. He made you to be Holy Ghost anointed and filled and set free and delivered. That's what he made you for. I had given up. I was trying no longer, for I thought I was hopelessly lost. Oh, but that's when His Spirit came shining, and it led me to the foot of the cross. And He never gave up on me. Oh no, though for myself no hope could what I could be when His Spirit reached down and touched me. That's why He never gave up. No, He never gave up. No, He just would give up on me. And I remember when the Spirit came shining. All at once, I had hope for my life. Then that hope turned into victory. All at once, my soul were opened and I could see. All because that He never gave up
His Spirit reached down and touched me. That's why He never gave up. No, He bow our head right now. And if you're here tonight, you feel like, or today, you said, Lord, I don't even know where I'm at, but Your Spirit's drawing me. I want you to know that it is right now. He's calling you home, and He's not giving up on you. This church is not giving up on you. We believe today is your day. Today is your day. Today is your day. In the name of Jesus, we're calling them home. Lord, we're calling them from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. They're coming home. We're calling them back to the God that forgives and never forgets. His callings and His gifts are without repentance. He, for myself, no hope could I see, but He saw just what I could be when His Spirit reached down and touched me. That's why He never gave up. He never gave up. He just would give up.
Around this room right now, could we just bow our heads and open our hearts? It's in a very special way. Would you do that? Would you pray with me right now? Heavenly Father, around this room, we ask that You minister to every individual that's here. We ask You that You touch hearts, lives right now. In Jesus' name, amen. We honor your pastors, their work for God, their heart for the lost around the world, starting right here in this city and including the state of Texas, United States, and around the world. I just, you know, there's just some of us that God has given a gift to motivate people to help us get this last day harvest. And when you have someone like that in your pulpit, man, get behind them, stay behind them. You may have to run really hard, but do so to keep up with them. Amen. We love them. We appreciate them. Amen. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles today to the book of Job. The book of Job, chapter 24, and I want to read just a portion of verse 12. It reads like this: the soul of the wounded crieth out. The soul of the wounded crieth out. I want to preach to you today on the subject tripod. Now, but I hope that it will here in a moment. Is there any men or women in this house this morning that hunt? I don't know if folks in Texas hunt or not. Do they? So there's three, four men here. So I appreciate this Amen Corner here. I talked to him before service, and I told him if it gets dead, jump up and run. So if you see him jump up and run, you'll know they think it's dead. Otherwise, they're going to give me some amens this morning. So, some time ago, I was in a tree stand bow hunting, and my back was to a large section of starts out with scrub willow and some big mature cottonwoods and lots of brush, lots of blackberries. It's just a tangle mess. And I'm looking out on a bean field, okay? And so waiting for the deer to come out of their bedding area and start feeding in this picked soybean field. So all of a sudden, off to my left, I hear something coming, crashing, making a lot of noise. Not like a deer tiptoeing through. It was making a lot of noise. And then I heard it just, and brush. And we don't have anything like that in Ohio that I run through my list of things. And we don't occasionally we may have a bear come from West Virginia into our area, but very rarely. So I didn't know what in the world, because it was crashing and thrashing. I got real quiet, and I'm looking over this way, waiting, and all of a sudden, this deer that you see on the screen, this doe, walks out. Now, what you can't see is her left rear leg is gone, right at the base of her hip. And so coming through that dry creek and that brush, I guess she got tangled up and she fell and she thrashed and she spun around until she could somehow get back up on three legs. That's why I call her tripod. And she made her way out to the bean field. And for about 30 minutes, I sat there and watched her. She would eat and then throw her head up. You talk about a nervous doe. She would take a bite and throw her head up and look around. Down about 100 yards to my right, about six more does came out. And they were feeding, and she would watch them and watch them, and watch them. One of them started walking this way, and when it did, she started backing up. And when they began to feed this way, then the others began to follow. She turned around and went back in, and I thought on tripod. Now, I've watched her. She's 4 years old now, and I just saw her the other day. And she's doing fine, okay? And I've watched her all three falls, and now into her fourth spring, I've watched her, and she has made it. But the more I thought on tripod, the more I thought on people that may be here in this congregation this morning. Let me preach to you. Again, the soul of the wounded cries out. In this house this morning, there are people that are carrying on, but they're wounded. They're struggling, but they're wounded. They're here this morning and they put a smile on their face and they shake hands. But make no mistake, there are people here this morning who are wounded. And the Lord sees you, and he has something for you today. Amen. Number one, how did it happen? As I watched her that evening, That was my thought. I wonder what happened to Tripod. Did she jump over one of our wire fences and get caught in the barbed wire with one leg? And as it twists, and some of you guys know how it will twist like that and hold them, and did that, or did she try to cross the road during the night and a car came around a curve? I've got right where this place is, there's two hairpin turns just back one way and then the other. And was she crossing right there where they come out of the pines and a car came around a corner and hit her? When she was young, did she get tracked by a coyote and perhaps attacked and it became infected and somehow she lost her left rear leg? How did it happen? I want to tell you, through no fault, it wasn't like she did to just get hurt. How many knows that sometimes you just, life is like that? You wind up in circumstances you never chose. You went through things you never would have asked to go through. Amen. And it ends up wounding you like it did her. The Bible tells us in 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled, and it came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. He was just a little kid. He didn't ask for trouble in the kingdom. He didn't ask for war that would take his grandfather, and he didn't ask for these things, but they happened, and a nurse trying to help picks him up as a lad of a boy, and she begins to run, and I don't know what she tripped on. I don't know how she fell. She was trying to save him, but she fell, and when she fell, he tumbled down and some way affected probably his lower spine, and he was from that day forward paralyzed with his two legs. He didn't ask for it, but it happened. And I ask you this morning in this house, how many are here wounded that you didn't ask for it? You didn't know. I'm thinking of one of our boys that just completed our missionary apprenticeship program. When he was 15, the school principal came to his class and asked him to come to the office. And already his little sister was there, a year or two younger than him. And there they sat in the office, and the principal told them, there's bad news from home. Your mother just overdosed on heroin, and she's gone. And your dad's going to come and pick you up. From that moment on, he, dad's drug abuse, he became the mother and the father to his younger siblings. Michael never asked for it. He never intended for his young teenage years to be like this. But those kids were tossed from pillar to post. But thank God somebody picked him up on a van. Somebody brought him to church. Michael found the Lord after smoking dope every day for 6 or 8 months and not finding anything to take away the hurt. He came to church and gave his life to the Lord, and God has transformed him. He didn't ask for it. You didn't ask for it. Oh, I wondered, how did it happen? Number two, what did it take? I wondered for Tripod to survive while wounded. You know, all the other deer, they didn't have any problems. They fed where they wanted to feed. They crisscrossed the fields. They grew fat. They didn't have any in Ohio other than people for deer. And so they just do just fine. Just fine. I took one I took one last year that just a dough for meat, and it weighed just over 200 pounds. So I'm telling you, they do just fine. But how did Tripod survive? What of the weeks when that wound was raw? What of the immediate weeks when she was so hurt she didn't know if she was going to live or die? What about how did she get to water? How did she get anywhere to eat? How did she, I just kept thinking, how did she survive? And then as the wound, because as she turned around, I could see that it was scabbed over. It wasn't a fresh wound. It probably happened in the summer before this, and months had gone by, and it was, you know, it was healing. But what happened? How did she get by? How did she eat? How'd she get water? No one knows the suffering that little doe went through. Trying when everybody else was healthy. Could I say it like this? Everybody else had jobs. Everybody else had a home to go home to. Everybody else had a mom and dad. Everybody else had been raised in church. They never knew anything else, but what about me? All I ever knew, I'm talking to somebody. What about that person that all they ever knew was fussing and fighting? They've been raised with violence, been raised in around some of the ugliest scenes that a person could imagine. How do they survive? How do they survive? We talk about young people going into their bedroom and shutting their door and turning on their music or their social media, and they just live in that world that is make-believe. What kind of wounds and what kind of hurts drive them that way? Isaiah said it like this: why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Proverbs 18 and 14 says, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? You ever wonder why some people do like they do? Why do they strike out? Why do they struggle coming to church? Why can't they just I'll tell you why. They're wounded. They're wounded, folks. They're hurting. They're trying to do the best they can to get by. And then my third question was this: what did being wounded do to her? I can tell you this: exclusion and abandonment. In the 4 years that I've watched Tripod, I can tell you this: she will never be with the other does. They won't allow it. All of the does in this area, and it's near my house, and so I see it mornings at daylight driving to church. I see it coming home in the evening. I see this constantly. There'll be 8, 10, 12 does and their yearlings coming out, and Tripod will be pastor at the other end of the field. And if they come towards her, she leaves. If she comes out over here, they chase her off. There's something about that group. They won't allow her to be. There may be somebody here this morning that feels like you just can't connect to other church people. It's not that they're mean. It's not that they scowl at you. It's just you know that they don't understand, and you feel like nobody knows what you've been through. The Lord dealt with me in a very strong way. There's people here this morning that just feels like I can go to church, but I can never be a part because nobody knows how I'm wounded. You may have had a husband who got up and walked away from you and left you, and it hurt deep inside. You may have had a wife that left you, and you think, yeah, I can still smile. I can go on, but nobody knows the hurt that is within. You may not have both parents. Among our youth group, which we have a very large youth group, there's probably not out of all of them, there's probably not much more than a dozen and a half that have two parents at home. Here's what the Bible says. If there be any blemish, Deuteronomy 15:21, as if it be lame or blind or have any ill blemish, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto the Lord thy God. Malachi 1:8 said, but if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? My brother lives in northwest Wisconsin. He's a modern day mountain man. He lives off grid, built a cabin. Him and his wife live in it, and they found a doe that had been abandoned. And somebody called them from town, and I guess the mother got hit and killed by a car, and so they called my brother and said, we've got this little fawn, and would you guys come and see if you can help it? So they went and picked it up and brought it out in the woods to their cabin, and they fed it with, at first, eyedroppers, and then with bottles, and they raised Violet, and Violet was so alone, and as she grew, they turned her loose, but she'd stay around the cabin, and every evening come in, and my brother's wife would feed her with acorns in her hand, and she would take a curry comb like you would with a horse, and she would comb Violet and take care of her and pamper her, and for Violet, Carl and Sony and their dogs became her family. And I want to tell you something. You may feel like you don't fit in. You may feel like nobody knows. You may feel like nobody can understand the hurt that is within you. And you may feel isolated and alone. But in this house right here, you are not alone. In this house right here, these people love you. In this house right here, there is something to mollify the wounds, and that is Jesus Christ. So isolation, what took place? She was isolated and abandoned by the other. Number two, fear. Fear. Tripod lives, to this day, lives in fear because she can't run fast like the others. And so she'll come to the middle of the field where she can see, like this year, beans are in that field again. And she'll come right to the middle and feed because that way she can see all the way around her and she'll constantly move around so that she can look in all directions. She lives in fear of something coming after her. But the Bible tells us that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Amen. And the book of Romans says you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Amen. But we've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba or Daddy God. Can I tell you, you don't have to live in fear that somebody's going to hurt. You don't have to live in fear that you're not going to make it. You don't have to live in fear that God's going to reject you, for he will never reject you. Lastly, I just want to say this. But Jesus, he welcomes the wounded and he heals the lame. Luke 4:13, but when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Matthew 5:11, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Matthew 15:31. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb speak, the maimed be whole, and the lame walk, and the blind to see, they glorified the God of Israel. Matthew 21:14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Listen to this, Jeremiah 30:17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called you an outcast. I'm here to preach to you this morning that I know a Lord that no matter where you are, you may have been raised in church or this may be your wounded. He still binds up the brokenhearted. He has, amen, forgiveness. He has healing. He still works miracles. Nobody's outside of a miracle from God this morning if you but call on him. Tia's family moved here from the country of Jordan. She was raised Orthodox. Tia, as a young girl, tried to commit suicide 3 times. Tia was hospitalized at different times, different intervals for long periods of time. Tia experimented living an alternate lifestyle, went to the over the Rhine section of Cincinnati, which is a horrible area. And there, tried as a teenage girl, fluctuating between wanting to live and wanting to die, lived with and communicated and ran with lesbians and homosexuals, fixed herself up to appear male, never found peace, rocked and tormented, till one night she went to one of our school rallies where they give us the high school and the gymnasium and allow us to come in and preach and advertise to the whole school, come on Friday night, we're having what we call Fuse. And she came to a Fuse meeting, and the place was packed with hundreds of teenagers. But Tia heard a message of hope and a message of help. She got out of her bleachers and walked down to the stage and gave her life to Jesus. Amen. Oh, he changed her. She went through high school and graduated, went through our missionary apprenticeship program. Now, As a young lady, a woman of God, she's been in several foreign countries. She just came back from a ministry at Eagle Reservation where our group went and held a week-long revival on the reservation. She came back from that. This Thursday night, she's going to be preaching our youth service, Anointed of God. Last Sunday night, we had a community event, an outdoor service, with fireworks and what have you, had 1,000 and some people come. And Tia stood in front of the stage and told them, I was wounded. I was suicidal. I had no peace, but I found Jesus and he healed me. I'm preaching to somebody today. You can be healed in this service this morning. Jesus never turned away the lame. Jesus never turned away the wounded. He loved them. He healed them. He gave them a miracle. Amen. I believe he has a miracle for you today in this room. You're hurt. You're hurting inside. You've tried your best to struggle on just like Tripod, but it's been hard. I offer to you this morning a real help and hope that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a Christian and you're here. Doesn't mean because you serve God you're not wounded, but I'm telling you, he can heal your wound. I said he can heal your wound this morning. Her name is Lily. This week, she should be having her first baby. She's married to a preacher's son. They're both committed to missions. But let me tell you Lily's story. When Lily was about 12 or 13, her daddy, a preacher, mama backslid and left. Not only did she backslid and leave, she became a drug addict. She found herself in prostitution. Lillian had to be the mama at home for her brothers. All her life that she remembers, she had to work, keep the house, cook meals, go to school and try to be a normal teenager, but nothing was normal in her life. Her mom tried to influence her and her brother's time and again to walk away from daddy and the house of God and come and enjoy life like she was. What a tragedy. But she held on to God. Not only did the Lord give her grace, but in her hurting, he healed her. In her hurting, he healed her. She's went on to be, amen, to graduate. When she went to college, she wanted to be a counselor. And so all of her classes led to her being a certified state counselor, because she said, I want to help young people who hurt like me. And now, like I said, either right now or next week, she's going to have her first child. A godly mother, amen, who will raise it in the house of God and give it a hope and a future. Why? Because God healed her. In her hurting, he healed her. Would you bow your heads this morning around this room? Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you would touch every tripod in this house. There's people that have lost jobs, people that have been turned away, people that have been through horrible life experiences, and there are people in this room that nobody knows what they've really dealt with. And they're hurting. But you're going to heal them this morning and make them, amen, a hope for others. Would you speak to them, Holy Spirit? Would you walk these aisles? Would you talk to those this morning that they can have a miracle? I ask you to speak to them. Let them know that you're here for them specifically this morning.